What pasuk?
I think we're in Perek Aleph, pasuk Yud Aleph. It's been a while. So these seven ministers, Achashverosh told the seven ministers his brainstorm. We explained last week why he came up with his brainstorm in the presence of the seven ministers, because they represented seven forms of destruction. They excelled in it. They specialized in it. Pasuk Yud Aleph. L'havi is Vashti Hamalka. To bring Vashti as Hamalka, Lifnei Hamelech, in front of the king. Bekes Hamalkos with a royal crown. Lahara Sa'amim, to show off to the nations Vasarim and the officers as Yafia, her beauty, Yitaivis Marihi. She had a pleasing appearance. So we explained before that one of the things that contributed to this idea was her proximity. She decided, for reasons of her own self-serving reasons, to make her mishnah right next to where the men were. This was not ordinarily the case, but she did it according to some mefarshim. It was in order to increase the potential for gilui arayos by the mishnah. According to others, it was for purposes of prestige. She's making it in the king's room. In any case, she put herself in position. And she didn't have to be sent, but she was right there. So she caused her own downfall. And Achashverosh called for her to be brought. There's a targum on this pasuk. Targum Yonasan. The Chazal make a diak from the pasuk that he commanded the Vashti should come with her royal crown. So they make a diak that she should come with her royal crown. That should be the only thing permitted to her. That she shouldn't have clothing. Now ultimately she was executed. But the manner, the means that led to her execution was the command that she should be brought with the royal crown, and only the royal crown. So Chazal teach us that we should not only learn out from the execution that she was deserving of dying, but we also examine the means that brought it about. There's a significance. So she was killed because she was commanded to come, she was summoned to come, without her clothes on. She never actually did that. But the very fact that she was commanded to do so has meaning. So the Targum says it was Mida Keneged Mida. She used to make the Jewish girls work for her 7 days a week, including Shabbos. Today was Shabbos. She used to make the Jewish girls work for her, and she would deprive them, she would strip them of their clothes, to demean them, to take away any last vestige of respect that they had. She was mezalzel in them. Mida keneged mida, she was killed by a command to come without her clothing. And we find a very similar occurrence in next week's parsha. Yehuda sold Yosef. He was the king of the brothers, so he sold Yosef. They took his multicolored coat and they dipped it in goat blood. They dipped it in goat blood to create the subterfuge that he was attacked by a wild animal and probably killed. Later on, Yehuda gets entangled in the parsha and the incident with Tamar, his daughter-in-law, a woman who he thinks is a woman of ill repute, a Zayna. He has relations with her. And he promises to pay her with goats. Doesn't have any goats on him at the time. His wallet's empty. His goat wallet is empty. So he gives her his cloak, his staff, his signet ring. And then he goes with the goats to pay her, because he wants to retrieve those precious items, and she's nowhere to be found. Because I'll say that he also saw something. There's a process going on. It's causing him a great deal of consternation, of pain, and it's affiliated with goats. He was the son of Yaakov Avinu. He knew how to learn. He understood the Darkei Hashem. He's been caused tsar in connection with goats, so it must be that's connected somehow to tipping Yosef's coat in goat's blood. So this is the Kaddish Baruch. This is the Darkei Hashem. Vashti was killed by a sequence of events that was set into motion by her being commanded to appear without her clothing. Mida connected Mida. That's the Targum. But the Targum has a question. She had a crown. She was permitted to wear a crown. What's up with that? But if the intent
demeans her,
it's the demeanor. Right. So you're saying wearing a crown demeans her even more?
Sir.
Yeah, because showing
of the contrast.
She's the queen, and now she has to do that.
You know, that's a very good shot.
He's a queen.
That's a very good shot. That's not the shot that the Targum Anderson says.
Yeah. Boom.
And it doesn't fit in with his theme either. Because he's explaining that the whole occurrence, the whole happening, is Mida connected Mida. Well, the Jewish women didn't have crowns, so then she wouldn't deserve to be demeaned like that either. She demeaned the Jewish women by them being left bereft of their clothing, so that's what she deserves. The additional shame that she would get by wearing her crown at the time is not Mida connected Mida. She didn't do that to the Jewish women. Unless you say that Jewish women have crowns without having crowns, because Jewish women are royalty. You can go further with your pshat. It's a good pshat. But the Targum Yenison explains, he answers this question along the same lines as why she was left without clothing in the first place. Since she was permitted to have a crown, also Mida connected Mida. He learned just the opposite of what you said. That some degree of covet she was allowed to retain. She's not just like a woman of the street. Some degree of respect she was permitted to retain. Because her great-grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar...
Wouldn't that be like Gemara says, like a gold ring on the pig's nose is an even bigger embarrassment? So this would be this is the queen.
I think that's what he asked me for.
Yes, but how is he saying that it's a degree of dignity? If anything, it's a degree of shame.
According to that opinion,
there's both aspects exist simultaneously. They're not mutually exclusive. There is a degree of shame in having the contrast present between royalty and disgrace. And then there is a degree of respect that at least that, you know, she doesn't look like a common woman. They both exist. She has the respect and the shame at the same time. Now, one might prefer not to have that respect at the expense of the shame, as personal preference. I'm sure that there's certain people that they're so caught up in their own covet that to them, if they're going to be disgraced, they at least want to have, you know, a mark of distinction on them. People are distorted that way. Yeah. And both things could exist simultaneously, and they do. So that Nebuchadnezzar had a servant. He was more than a servant. He actually managed the kingdom. His name was Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, for all his riches, his advisor was Daniel. And he honored Daniel. And he gave Daniel special clothing. He enhanced the covet of Daniel. He was mechabed him. I mean, the pasuk says he bowed down to him. And he worshipped him as a god. He was mechabed Daniel. In return for this, Vashti's disgrace, that she appeared without anything, was offset. It was mitigated. She was allowed to keep her crown.
Why Daniel?
Well, why did you have to do that to Daniel? Daniel was the Gadol HaDor. Klal Yisrael, at the time of Daniel, Daniel
different
was the Gadol
times.
HaDor. Well, Mordechai was there then, but he didn't have the prominence of Daniel. Daniel was the Gadol HaDor. Nebuchadnezzar realized there's many, many rulers, omnipotent rulers, that Hashem is going to give them atzlacha. He's going to grant success to the kingdom and use and channel it through Daniel. Blessing comes to this world because of a person like Daniel. If he's the grand vizier, finance minister, the highest figure in the kingdom, then blessing is going to come to the kingdom through his offices. They recognize this. Even the greatest Rishayim, or because they were the greatest Rishayim,
they
recognize
they
you can't. Someone can't become a big Rasha unless they understand the Dark Hashem. That's a prerequisite to becoming a big Rasha. Just like an Am Haaretz can't be a big Tzaddik, an Am Haaretz can't be a big Rasha. That's what the Targum says. Pasuk says, "Lifnei Amalek," she was commanded to come in front of the king. And we see in the next pasuk she refused. She refused. And Achashverosh knew that she might refuse. I mean, I'm sure he had some idea that she might consider this a preposterous request. So there's a sefer on Megillas Esther by Rav Moshe Alshich, the Alshich. In this pasuk, in Pasuk Aleph, Achashverosh was launching a preemptive strike. He was trying to calculate to Cheshbon any possible opposition she could have to fulfilling his request, you know, the resistance that she would muster. And he phrased the request, he rephrased the command in a way to counter any of her oppositions. Number one, he said there's three things Achashverosh came up with. Number one, she's the power. The royalty comes from her. Her great-grandfather was the absolute ruler of the entire world. Royal blood does not run in his veins. It's not appropriate for the power of the kingdom to appear, to be summoned at the beck and call of the flunky, of the stable boy. Number two, a queen might be fit, it might be proper for her to be at the disposal of the king to fulfill his every whim, wish, and desire. But she's his. She's not to be put on display for the people. Number three, there's always the possibility when you put on display on this grand fashion show, Achashverosh wants to display her, that it might lead to the opposite intent. Because at the Mishnah or somewhere in the kingdom, there could be some woman that's more beautiful than her. And as long as she's in her own private palace and she's covered up, so then she could always lay claim to being the most beautiful woman in the world. But the minute she's on display for all to see, what does she do if she ends up being exposed as a fraud? These are three things that were going through Achashverosh's mind.
And why do you want this?
No, that these would be three reasons why she wouldn't want to come.
Oh.
Should I go over them? Number one is because she's more distinguished than he is. She's royalty, he's not. Number two is that she's his wife. She doesn't have to be put on display for everyone else. And number three, maybe others would think that she's not the most beautiful girl in the land. So we showed up. The Alshon says in this pasuk, you be medayik in this pasuk, you see that he addresses each one of these concerns. Number one, that she's the true power. Well, Achashverosh disagreed with her on that point. It says, L'havi is Vashti Amalka. Her name, Vashti, comes first. And then the word Malka. He's sending her a message. You were Vashti. You were born Vashti. You had no claim to the king. Like we stated, when she was born, her father, her grandfather, her great-grandfather were not kings anymore. They were wiped out long ago. Her great-grandfather might have been a king, but she wasn't a princess. She is a member of a line that has ended. She's just plain Vashti. When she married him, he's a king. When she married him, that's when she was elevated to the position of queen. So she's initially Vashti, and secondly, Hamalka. So he put that, and he said, Vashti Hamalka, that was part of the message. The messengers were instructed to say this to her. She's Vashti Hamalka. First she's Vashti, then she's Hamalka. Lifnei HaMelech. Bekes HaMalkos. I mean, the Alshak adds also, even if she does have some claim to royalty, but in those days, I mean, this is one of the differences between Scottish peerage and British peerage. If someone is a duke and he leaves over male issue, so then the title passes to the sons. If he leaves over no male children, it does not pass to the daughters. That's in British peerage. Scottish peerage differs in this regard, that it can go through the daughter as well. I guess in Persian or Babylonian monarchies, it didn't go to the daughters. They followed the British model. So Achashverosh said, even if your family is a royal family, that doesn't make you a queen. There's only one way to be a queen, dear, and that's to marry a king. A daughter of a king is a nobody. A wife of a king is a queen. See your Vashti or Malka. The next phrase, Lifnei HaMelech Bekes HaMalkos, to come in front of the king with a royal crown. The Alshak says, why should she come in front of the king with a royal crown? What's the point in that? He says, he doesn't agree with the Targum's chat. He has his own chat. To come in front of the king with a royal crown, the significance of that is, this is the Alshak.
Oh.
Question is, why does Achashverosh want her to come?
Why is he summoned her with a royal crown? It's a strange request. He's quieting her fears. He said, you think you're on display for the nations? You think you're on display for the officers? No. Your prime purpose is to serve the king. I'm asking you to come. He's commanding her to come. Lifnei HaMelech, to come in front of the king. That's the primary purpose.
Because he said so?
Lifnei HaMelech is for his pleasure. That's her purpose. Bekes HaMalkos, and in case you're concerned that people might misconstrue this, they won't understand it, because he's not going to be the only one to see her. So that's why he instructed her to come with the crown. Why? Because if you come with the crown that generates a message, that broadcasts a message that you're here for the king's pleasure. This is a royal pleasure. You're not here for the enjoyment of a common man. It's royalty. It's nobility. I mean, these people are really, really distorted. And the third concern, that she's afraid she's going to get shown up. So that's the third phrase, Kitaivas Marahi. You're the most beautiful. No one could hold a candle to you.
But
Tavis Mar, you are the most beautiful in the land. Don't be concerned. So he addressed all the issues.
According to the Ashik, he didn't think she'd be worried about just the disgrace.
Doesn't seem to have crossed his mind.
Okay.
I mean, the Gemara agrees with the Alshik. The Gemara doesn't understand why she didn't come. She was an immoral woman. What should you know? This serves her purposes. She made a party. She made a mishnah right next to the man, which violated propriety. It wasn't done. She did it. She, you know, we might not be privileged or privy to all the details of all the things that she included in her mishnah, but it's obvious that the purpose of the mishnah was to incite, was to fire up the fire of the Yetzer Hara, to increase the conflagration, you know, to add fuel to the fire. What could fit into her plans more than to do such a thing? The Gemara says she would have come. She would have come. Why didn't she come? Well, there were two reasons. Number one, she had leprosy all over her body. Miraculously so. Yeah. Number two is she grew a tail. When we get to it, we'll discuss.
Like,
okay,
go burn the shot that it was God's plan.
Yeah.
Whole.
But she wanted to, you know, because I don't think the thought ever crossed up, ever crossed his mind that she had a moral objection to it. That she would object for reasons of moral turpitude. She had no morals. She was Vashti. So he addresses all three. She didn't come. And we'll see why she didn't come. She took issue with a couple of things he said. Pasuk Yudbeis. Vatamayin Amalka Vashti. And she refused. Who refused? The queen. It's Queen Vashti. Lovely to come. Bidvar Melech. By the word of the king. Asher Biyad Asarisim. Which was delivered to her by the hands of the foot soldiers. Vayitzav HaMelech Ma'ayid, and the king was very angry. And besides that, V'chamas HaBorobo, his anger burns inside him.
So if he's angry? Vayitzav is anger?
Yeah. Ketzav and Chema are anger. In this case, Chema is a larger degree. Yitzchak was angry, and Chema is that it burned inside him. I mean, you'll notice in this pasuk, that the name Malka Vashti is switched around. The Vilna-Gaon points this out, among other Mefarshim. He claimed that there's no disgrace to her because she's a common woman. She thought otherwise. No, Achashverosh. You're making a mistake in your calculations. You've got it all wrong. She's a queen. Achashverosh, you're only the king by virtue of me being the queen. You never would have made it. The Vilna Gaon says that the issue between them was she claimed ascendancy to the monarchy based on her Babylonian origins, and Achashverosh differed with her because he married her after her father died. He married her after her father was assassinated. So there's two pshatim in the machlekes between Achashverosh and Vashti. The Alshuk says the machlekes is because she's a woman, and the Vilna Gaon says that Achashverosh differed with her because he married her after her father died. Tupshat. In any case, she had her own version of the facts. The Alshak on this pasuk explains why did she refuse. He adds a reason. The Gemara says she refused because she couldn't. She sort of, yeah, she had leprosy. Saras. Mida k'neged mida. and a tail. She was an animal, and she was a Baal Lashon Hara. Mida keneged mida.
But it happened right now?
With Saras?
Yeah.
Saras is not very common, though.
No, I'm saying
she right then. Yeah, it happened as soon as she was ready to go.
Bill Gunn is saying that, where do you see that she got Saras here?
No, the Gemara said she got Saras. The Vilna Gaon was just saying her...
What was the Mida keneged mida?
She was an animal, and she was a Baal Lashon Hara.
And they got that from this pasuk that she grew a tail and got leprosy, or says it in the text?
Yes, no, they got it from the pasuk, but it's not open, it's not explicit in the pasuk. That's the Gemara's reason why she didn't come. And then you have the Vilna Gaon and the Alshuk's reason why she didn't come, because she's the king. Then the Alshuk adds another factor.
Wait, from which words do they infer this?
Well, the Vilna Gaon, the Alshuk, it says they infer it from the words of Malka Vashti, that she switched the order around. And she put the word queen before her name. She Achashverosh called her Vashti, the queen. And her response was, she's the queen, Vashti. That she's saying, I was a queen before you ever knew me.
That would make sense. I mean the part with the leprosy and the tail.
That's the Gemara. You know,
it
does, but there's a lot of things in the Gemara that's not open, it's not so obvious for us where the Gemara got it from.
Oh.
It's there, but it's not as obvious.
Okay.
The Yalshuk places a stress on the words Lavoi Bidvar HaMelech. She wouldn't come by the word of the king. The Yalshuk says, that one of the things that contributed to her refusal, among other things, like we mentioned a few other things, is that he commanded her. Dvar Lavo, she was told to come Bidvar Melech by edict, by word of the king. The Alshuk says, I mean, this is an insight into human relations. If you would have asked her, she would have come. She wanted to come. She was waiting to be asked. Everything was all set up. Like, this whole thing was a setup. She was waiting to be asked. Just ask. But he commanded her. And he commanded her? No way. So he gets it from the pasuk. Lavoi, she would not come. Why didn't she come? Bidvar HaMelech. Because he's commanding her to come. What's the difference between being commanded to come and being asked to come?
Ask says you have your own free will.
Right, asking to come means you're coming. And being commanded to come means you're...
Who says this?
This is the answer. Yeah, you want a parallel to this? There was a officiary of the court of David HaMelech. His name was Shimi ben Gera. And he turned against David and he cursed David HaMelech for various reasons David didn't have him put to death, even though he was Chayiv Misa. But when he died, he told Shlomo HaMelech on his deathbed, he told Shlomo HaMelech to take care of it. Shlomo HaMelech didn't want to do it actively. Instead, he told the Shimi ben Gera that he's under house arrest. He's not permitted to leave a certain area upon pain of death. That means he's not being incarcerated, he won't be tortured, but he must stay within a certain region. Where was the region? Yerushalayim. He said, the minute you leave Yerushalayim, that's an act of rebellion against the king of Chayim Misa. It's a pretty big prison cell. You know that there's people alive nowadays in Mav Esrim that they never left Yerushalayim? They've never left.
They never met them?
They won't leave Yerushalayim. And they don't. They're born here. They stay here. They won't leave Yerushalayim. There's people in Eretz Yisrael. They've never left Eretz Yisrael. Many people. They won't. And they won't go. Shimi ben Gera left. Because he was commanded not to. You understand? He was commanded not to. That's the only reason why he left. We have this in yeshiva.
Oh, yeah.
We had summer in yeshiva. That for whatever reason, we decided that he has to stay in yeshiva for 30 days. For whatever reason, he has to stay in yeshiva for 30 days. It was very liberal. He has to stay in yeshiva for 30 days. You know, we let him go out for Shabbos and things like that, but he had to stay in yeshiva for 30 days.
This year?
This happened twice. The night before the 30th day. He went somewhere. And the Rashiva didn't know about it. And the Rebbe found out about it. And he called him and he said, get back to the yeshiva. If you stay out, the yeshiva's going to find out about it. Get back. If you get back, no one's going to know. He said, I'll take care of it. And the guy says, he said, no, I can't take it anymore. He said, it's the last day. He says, I can't take it anymore. I said, I will not. I won't. Whatever happens, happens. And it happened. This is human nature.
Did he get in trouble?
He's not here anymore. It's human nature. This is human nature. Human nature, we find it impossible to surrender our will. Vashti, in this regard, Vashti was very human. She was very human. That's what the Alshuk says.
What did she expect Ahasuer to do?
It doesn't matter.
He's the king in front of all.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She can't come.
She's also.
No, but she thought about it before. She said. No. You said it seems like she set up.
Well, he thought. He
don't
thought.
Be a genuinely good person.
No, I didn't say. Well, oh yeah.
She set up the mishpat so that this.
Yeah, she thought that he was going to ask
don't
him.
Don't be.
But how could you expect the king in front of all the things to just ask someone to do something? That's when a person would
don't
display
genuine.
Their power.
I really don't. I don't clearly know the answer to the question. You know what she thought, but she wasn't going to come if she was commanded.
She was also around.
It doesn't matter what she thought he would do. To certain things, she's just incapable.
She was also royalty. She was being put in front of her old party.
I don't really know what was going through her mind. I don't have access to her thought process. But what Chazal do tell us is that she was incapable of coming upon command. And, we have to assume that she knew what might come next. The Alshuk makes a further diyuk. It says, Biyadasarisim is that the only ones to accompany her to the palace would be the foot soldiers. Biyadasarisim means that she goes alone. She's there with the Sarisim and no one else. That means that she leaves her retinue behind. Her ladies in waiting. And that's a chutzpah. That's a zilzal. So all these reasons combined.
How is it a chutzpah?
Because the queen comes with her accompaniment, with her retinue.
Oh.
It's interesting, the Megillah Starim explains this pasuk on a totally different level. The Gemara says, whenever it says the words Hamelech, it also refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Megillah Starim says that being that is the case, when the pasuk says that she refused to come Bidvar Hamelech, she refused to come Bidvar Hamelech. So I'll explain this pasuk in two ways, the Pashut way and the way the Megillah Starim explains it. The Pashut way is she refused to come despite the fact the king summoned her. Mavo, she refused to come Bidvar HaMelech, like the king told her to come. Right? That's the Pashut shah. The Megillah Starim says no, he takes out the word despite. He says she refused to come Bidvar HaMelech. The reason for her refusal was Bidvar HaMelech, because of the word of the king. She refused to come because of the word of the king. The word of the king meaning God's word.
What? God told her to go to the party?
Well, you didn't get it. God told her not to go to the party. She refused to come because the king commanded her. What is... God commanded her. Melech means God. A Temayin...
Does it mean directly, or just like it made her not want to go?
Well, we saw the Gemara says he made her not want to go because he gave her leprosy and a tail. The Alshuk says he made her not want to go because Achashverosh phrased it as a command instead of a request.
But it wasn't like a God speaking to her saying, don't go
everything,
to the party.
Everything in the Megillah was behesta, was hidden. But that's, she never knew why she didn't go. She never knew.
How did she kill the man?
He was hung naked.
Didn't they see all the stuff that was on?
Yeah, that would have been cool. Why not? Is that a kasha? Is
so
that a question?
No, why should it? That's what he felt bad.
I mean, that's, you know, as long as it doesn't mess up Hashem's plan, it's all right.
But wasn't it kind of miraculous that suddenly she got tzaras and grew a tail?
Yes.
So that was an open miracle.
Yes.
That doesn't really fit in with everything else.
Okay.
It's hidden in the Megillah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's these certain miracles. I'm trying to think of an example. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu does miracles, when there's no longer any need for the miracle, it automatically reverts back to the way it is. An example escapes me now. I'll try and remember. It's quite possible. This is pure conjecture on my part. But there's evidence with Lee. It's quite possible that the only one that knew, that was cognizant of Vashti contracting leprosy and growing a tail, was Vashti. It happened when she was in private. She wouldn't come out. She wouldn't show anyone. And the need for the miracle was only necessary for as long as it took to provoke Achashverosh's anger. Once his anger was provoked, there was no longer any need for the miracle. Like you're saying, if he'd get angry and then they would summon her and he'd see what it was, so he might not put her to death. So the evidence points to the fact that it was a temporary miracle that was in effect only as long as it was necessary. And as long as it was, you know, as soon as it became no longer necessary, she automatically reverted back to normal. Now who's going to believe her? If she says she grew a tail, that's why she didn't come. I would assume that's the mahalach. It's a good question. So there's two ways of understanding the phrase Lavo B'dvar Melech. One is that she wouldn't come despite the fact that the king summoned her, and then the king means Achashverosh. And one is she didn't come because the king, his wish was that she shouldn't come, and then the king means Hashem.
I mean, Hashem didn't actually command her, but
He commanded the forces of nature.
Yeah.
That's also a command.
He prevented
it. He made it happen.
Yeah.
That's a command.
Like you said with the tail on the...
The Gemara in the Vilna Gaon explains the pasuk further based on the Gemara. The Gemara it tells a little bit of what was going on, the exchange between them. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis tells us of the exchange between them. There were messages that were being sent back and forth. Yeah, the Gemara here says, tells you the difference between our Shabbos and... The Gemara talks about the difference between our Shabbos and their Shabbos. Our Shabbos, we eat, we drink, we say the Torah, we sing songs, Shabbos mirrors, and the eating and the drinking enhances our mirrors. It makes the singing come out better. And it makes the Divrei Torah. It increases the, enhances the Divrei Torah. That's what our dreamer leads to.
Right.
Yeah, no, like I know a guy, one of my Talmidim once, he's a very quiet guy, not too many people knew of his godless, Shana Aleph guy. And he got drunk on Purim and he sat over the first 12 block in Gittin.
What?
Shackle of Italian. That would work.
And he never, like, did that before.
No, no one knew he could do it. No one knew he could do it.
What do you mean? He just was, like, talking it out, like sitting in a corner, like,
no,
he said, Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah, he did that word for word. It was question answer format. First 12 block in Gittin.
That's a lot.
Shut off, guy.
When was this?
Well, he was a good guy. You know, it was Purim time, so by that time of the year, you learn 12 block.
Are you doing
it? Yeah, I've the kechavim. When they eat and drink, that causes them to become immoral. That leads to immorality.
No, you might accidentally trip the word.
And they ate, they drank, they were deep into their cups, and they started talking about women. And everyone is praising their nation. The Mede women, the Persian women. Ahasuerus says, my goblet, there's no one like her. She's not a Mede woman, she's not a Persian woman. She's from the Kazdim, she's Babylonian. You want to see her? They said, yeah, but without clothes.
Okay.
So Gemara says, why? How did that happen? Neither connected neither. Neither connected neither. She used to make the Jewish girls work without clothes, and they had to do work on Shabbos. And then you know, the same thing happened to her. So the Gemara says, she was immoral.
Shut up.
She was immoral. So why didn't she come? It's the Gemara's kasha. He was immoral, she was immoral. He was a good shitter. She got leprosy. But the Gemara says that the Malach Gavriel came and made her a tail. There's a lot to be said on this Gemara.
Gavriel?
The Malach Gavriel, yes. When it says that she got leprosy, it says she got leprosy. But when it comes to the tail, it says the Malach Gavriel. Listen carefully, he's going to be on the test. And the king got very angry. My, very angry. The Hamasi Baro boy, and there was a fire burning inside him. The Gemara said, why did he get so angry? Well, he wanted her to come. I mean, it's not like the most reasonable request.
Right.
Why did he get so angry? She said no. He wanted it. She said no.
Excuse me.
He got angry, and his anger surpassed the normal the norms. Why? The Gemara says, Akasha. He got angry because of the message she sent him. She said, you're the stable boy. He was in charge of the manger. He watched the ferrets, the horses, of my grandfather. You watched the horses of my grandfather. I'm sorry, my father. Sorry? My father.
What does that mean?
You're my father's stable boy, and you're telling me to come. You're drunk. You've lost control. She said, my father was able to drink 1,000 measures of wine, and he didn't get shikha. He had 1,000 drinks. He did not get drunk. And you drink, I don't know, what do you have, half a bottle of Akashvara? You drink a very small amount, doesn't specify how much. You didn't drink 1,000 drinks. You drank, and you became a shaita. That did it. She called him a drunkard and a stable boy. That got him angry. So it wasn't her refusal to come that got him angry. It was her barbed remarks, her pointed tongue.
And he burned
inside of him. The Vilna Gaon says, he takes it further, and he says there's two expressions. Ketzef is anger. And Chema, it says, V'chamasei baraboy, it burns as a fire inside of him. So there's anger and there's something burning inside. What's the difference between them? The Vilna Gaon says that anger is something that's displayed on the outside. He displayed anger on the outside. Righteous indignation. And everyone thought, they misinterpreted his anger. They thought, you know why he's angry? He's perturbed. He wanted her to come and she won't come. He's a king, she's supposed to listen to him. He wanted her to come, she won't come. So he's angry on the outside. But Hamasid Baraboy, but there was a fire burning inside. Why was there a fire burning inside? Because he was angry at something that he could never tell anybody. There's no anger like an anger that you can't share with people. You want their sympathy, you want their empathy, but it burned inside him. What was that? He's going to tell someone that he's angry because he called him a stable boy? And he can't hold his liquor? He's never going to admit that that bothers him. I'm a stable boy? I'm not a stable boy. I'm royalty. I'm in full control. I can lunch roll my quicker. So the Vilna Gaon says this, that on the outside it says Vayitzev, he was angry. He told her to come. She didn't come. Everyone understands that. But Chamasei Barabai, but in the inside, oh, was he burning up? He was burning on the inside. Why the inside? Because it's something you can never tell anybody. Okay, everybody says, so we'll stop here.
What was this all?
What?
No.
Oh, 49 minutes and 59 seconds.
You got it? How long was this? It was short here.
The anger within them?
Yeah.